Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, October 16th, 2014, and boy, howdy. There's a lot that's happened already this morning, and that's why we're recording a little bit late today. Today was Apple's special media event, and to help me slog through everything they announced and keep me entertained, because that's what I'd expect, I have Kelly Goumont with me today. How are you, Kelly?
I am correct, is how I am, and I'm going to sit over here and revel in my rightness.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. And
yes, we do.
And also, John Martellaro, how are you, John?
Good morning. Kelly is still wrong.
Shenanigans.
All right, so before we get into why you think Kelly is wrong.
No, I was just kidding.
Oh, I thought we were about to have controversy. Well,
no, Kelly's always
kind of
disappointed.
No, Kelly's the wizard. She's always spot on.
Yes. Kelly, you were fantastic with your predictions for today.
I've put her in paroxysms.
That's like a Catholic thing, isn't it?
It's one of those torture devices from the 1600s. Now, so last week, last Thursday, I believe it was, I put up six things Apple will discuss at the event today. And of those six things, five of them actually happened. So one of them was, I said they needed to address the middle-end MacBook Pro because we have the MacBook Air and then we have the MacBook Pro with Retina, but the plain ordinary MacBook Pro somehow continues to soldier on. That was the only one that I was mistaken about. And so everything else came to pass. I did mention that if they're going to update the iMac to a Retina display, that we can expect to also see a Retina, or in this case, we now know it to be 5K Thunderbolt display. They didn't mention that. I don't know if that's going to end up being a silent update or not, but everything else I said would come to pass came to pass. Now, some of those were no-brainers. When do we get Yosemite? When do we get Apple Pay? And let's discuss the update to the iPad and the iPad Mini.
Okay, so let's start with the easy ones. When do we get Yosemite?
Today.
Yes.
As today. You listen to this, you can probably go pick it up in the App Store for no money at this moment. Before you do so, please back up. In the name of all that is holy, please back up. Back that thing up. You know you want to. It's just smart.
You know, as of last night with Golden Master number 3, I could not print.
I can see where that might be an issue. Or
yes.
Maybe it's a feature. It's environmentally friendly. You're not wasting paper.
I sent reports. None of my apps could print. So
that's weird.
Hopefully.
Now, I will say that's kind of a bad example as somebody who has done printer support in the past. Printing, even when everything is solid, is kind of a dark art. And there's a lot of things that can cause it to go wrong. So if you said, you know, I'm having trouble opening a Finder window, I could see where maybe that would be an issue. But otherwise, I'm going to kind of chalk that up to, that's kind of weird, but move on. So far, from what I've heard from people who are running Yosemite, by and large, they're not having a whole lot of issues with it. The stuff that they're having trouble with tends to be specific.
And that's exactly the camp I'm in. I've been running the Yosemite betas for quite a while on my MacBook Air, and these last few builds have been just surprisingly good.
I still can't get AirDrop to work from on my Mac. I can do iPad to iPhone.
Well, I have not tried with the latest beta, and I have not tried with the shipping version, which of course I haven't had time to download yet because we're recording literally moments after the media event from today ended. Okay, so we had Yosemite. and then we got the announcement that iOS 8.1 will be available on Monday. That's going to include the Apple Pay support that we need for our iPhone 6s. Yes.
So excited. I'm so excited. I can't wait to press that into service.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to trying out Apple Pay as well. Okay, so then we also got the news that the new versions of iWork come out of beta today. So those are available as free downloads as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're updated. These are new versions for people who just aren't who aren't super jazzed about it, these are new versions. They've done a number of updates to them if you're people who didn't participate in the beta. So, and those are available for free on both your Mac and your mobile devices.
Yep, there you go. That's awesome. Then we get into some hardware-y stuff. So we have the new iPad announcement. We have the iPad Air 2 and the iPad Mini 3, which was mentioned in passing.
It's more by the way,
the stuff in the iPad Air 2, it's in the
iPad. Did you notice how Phil Schiller's voice went down an octave when he got to the iPad Mini 3? It was like, and by the way, we have the iPad Mini 3.
I really thought there'd be more excitement about the Mini, considering that it sort of came out of nowhere to be this surprise success device. I thought we'd spend a little time with it. I mean, silly me, thinking if they announced a new product, maybe we would see one. So I was very surprised that it was, and by the way, all the stuff that's in the new Air, you can buy it in a Mini.
Yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah.
Like, so what kind of pricing slide wasn't even up long enough.
Yeah. Okay, so what do we get? And what do you guys think of the new iPad Air 2?
Well, I've written that I'm probably going to pass on it. I don't see an urgent need for Touch ID on my iPad Air. And I'm kind of thinking I'd rather save my money and get a larger iPad Pro, crossing my fingers.
You keep holding out hope for that. I honestly think that eventually your patience will be rewarded, just not for a little while.
Yeah. Maybe April, May or something.
Okay, so the new iPad Air 2, it's thinner. It's available in space gray, silver, and gold for the first time.
Gold!
Touch ID sensor. A special version of the A8 processor designed just for the iPad Air 2. Mm-hmm. Improved graphics capabilities. And they took out the air gap between the display and the glass. So you have better clarity in the display.
And it's less reflective.
That's a big thing for me.
Yeah. I was really surprised it was something that Apple took on, because it never seemed to me, given how long Apple has been putting out shiny screens on everything, I never figured that they would go, yeah, you know, maybe we should see if there's a way to tone this down. But they have.
How does that work with the oleophobic? Does oleophobic mix with the anti-reflective display? If so, that's quite a thing to pull off.
I think it's a super feat, and I absolutely believe that it's probably oleophobic. I think that's one of the main advantages to Apple screens over other people's, is that oleophobic coating, which is a coating, which is why people tell you not to rub your phone with Windex and stuff all the time, is because you will rub that off, for people who don't know.
That's a good point.
So.
Oh, the ammonia. Oh, that ammonia will kill your display. Don't ever do that. Use the
like
iClear. The iClear stuff. Yeah.
So, so when I saw these new iPads and some of the apps that they were showing off to go with them, I really started to feel like, for many people, a computer is no longer a necessity. And the number of people that can get by, and not just get by, but be totally functional with an iPad as opposed to a desktop or laptop computer, suddenly grew. Today.
Dramatically, especially after seeing the stuff that you could do with some of the applications they had up there. There was a demo of Pixelmator, which, for people who don't know, is an image editing alternative to things like Photoshop. And what they did with that was they took a really nice image of the desert with, I'm not going to remember the name of the animals on it, but it had some animals, and they wanted to take this logo and put the logo across the bottom of the screen, and they couldn't because one of the animals was still there. So they took the little repair feature and drew over the animal in the sand with his finger. I might point out, this wasn't any sort of stylus demonstration or anything. This was just with his finger, so, you know, no extra hardware necessary. And managed to obliterate the animal from the image and be able to drop the logo in, and you couldn't even tell that there had ever been something there. It was amazing, and it was fast.
fast.
It's amazing it's fast, and I don't think a lot of people will get the significance of what they showed. This is a feature that Photoshop introduced a few years ago.
Three or four, yeah.
And that that smart delete replace feature thing from Photoshop took a lot of horsepower and a lot of serious engineering.
It really did.
And that involved desktop computers. And now Pixelmator is doing the same thing with what appears to be the same level of success as Photoshop, and they're doing it on an iPad.
Mm-hmm. With 3 billion transistors and teraflops of graphic performance. Awesome.
It's amazing to see what they were doing. And anybody who's listened to me on any podcast I've ever been on talking about iPads, I'm excited about the iPad, and I have a soft spot in my heart for anybody who does something cool with it that maybe was unexpected. And I know a lot of photographers who were really excited about the iPad, even in its first iteration, because it gave them a larger but not a laptop screen, you know, because of battery life and all that kind of stuff, a super portable, larger screen to be able to show off their work. And the first two people I knew who were super excited about the iPad, and people who were super pumped, who were not techno people, people like us, who were going to be excited about it anyway because it's a new thing from Apple and it seems pretty cool. The first two people I knew who were excited about it were a photographer and a real estate agent. And it was for the same reason. I have a larger screen that I can carry around with a battery that lasts all day that will allow me to show things to people while I'm out and about.
Absolutely. I've been a fan of that for a long time. I'm especially fond of those Sextant and SkyChart programs.
Yeah. The first thing I did with my iPad was I put distant suns on it and took it to a star party and walked around amongst all the telescopes and went, this is the thing I want to see. And I just pointed it up at the sky, and it was still before the iPad was a very common device. And people went, ooh.
Well, with the compass and the gyroscope, with the compass and the gyroscope, they're able to figure out where you're pointing the iPad and then put the stars in the right position in the sky.
Which is what's amazing.
When you point it, yeah.
Yeah. And I could fit that in my purse and just walk around with it. It was one of those – every once in a while I have a moment where it really finally feels like I'm living in the future, and this was one of those moments.
And that's so awesome. Now, Kelly, before we started recording, you were saying that you felt that Steve Jobs' vision of the – why didn't you – You were so eloquent,
I apparently can't
complete a sentence.
I mentioned Steve, and what I said was that I really think that this year, 2014, this is the year that Steve's post-PC vision is finally made manifest. I think this is the point. This is the tipping point. This is the moment that people will look back to and point at and say, this was the moment when it started to be okay again to not have a computer, as long as you have an iPad or an iPhone, because they are just as capable as the thing that you have on your desk.
Yes, and of course, for some people, that won't be the case. But the point is, the number of people that can use these mobile devices as their complete computer system.
Yeah.
Yeah,
primary.
That chart about the 70 million iPads compared to the sales of the PCs of the other systems.
Remember and it chart? Was all of them. That to me was the staggering number, was when he pointed out that sales chart. For people who didn't see it, there was a chart that was one of the slides that Tim had when he was talking about the sales of the iPad. And he took one quarter of sales. And if you look at the bottom of the screen, it was like Acer, Asus, Dell, HP, not Apple, just iPad. And the iPad demolished all those other numbers. And when he pointed them out, he said, these aren't calling out specific models from these companies. This is everything from Dell, every desktop, every laptop. And then he said, every toaster fridge. I see what you did there.
I think that explains why in another chart, Tim showed how they're selling a complete line of iPads. You've got the original iPad Mini. You've got the iPad Mini 2, the iPad Mini 3, the iPad Air, and the iPad Air 2, all for sale. That's no accident.
Now.
No accident. Yeah.
So I was really sort of not taken aback, but in awe, I guess, of those numbers. I knew the iPad was popular. I didn't realize it was that popular. And when I have spoken in the past about people being technologically honest with themselves and realizing that they may not need another Windows laptop, maybe all they really need is an iPad, I think way more people have already had that conversation and come to that conclusion than I thought.
Yeah, it kind of looks that way.
Oh, it looks a lot that way. So, if I were Chairman Honeycrisp, I wouldn't be more pleased with those numbers.
I knew you were going to say that. I just knew it.
All right. So we have this awesome tablet and in the iPad Air 2 and an equally awesome tablet, it looks like, in the iPad Mini 3, although they barely mentioned it, and this whole world where we don't, or for many people, we don't need to have desktops anymore.
Mm-hmm. Or even laptops.
Or even laptops. And then Apple drops a new desktop on us.
That was awesome. I was blown away.
It was so funny. Look at all the stuff that we've done so that you don't need a computer anymore. Now let's show you a new computer.
Yeah.
That was probably the standout thing, really, in terms of blowing us away. Because we kind of knew what the other stuff was coming. But this was kind of like, you know, wow, this is really cool.
Yeah.
And it's rather ballsy, I think, to show us all this incredible mobile stuff and tell us how we can do everything we need with a mobile system, and then say, oh, and here's a computer you're going to want.
Mm-hmm.
And they show us a 27-inch iMac with a 5K resolution display.
They call it 5K Retina, and it's 27-inch display. And
14.7 million pixels.
Compared to high-definition television, which was, what, 2.1?
Yeah, 1080p.
That's the little corner.
They showed a demo of, here's 1080p, and it was like the lower left.
Postage stamp, almost.
Not even 25%.
No, of the screen. Maybe 1/7, 14%. Yeah.
Yeah, it was this itty-bitty little corner, and I kind of looked at that and went, and the reason it was funny to me is because I was watching it on the 60-inch television because they've left up the live event channel on my Apple TV. So I was watching this on a 1080p television as I stared at a 5-foot diagonal screen and watched him go, see all those pixels? They all fit way down here in this little itty-bitty corner of the iMac.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think Apple just turned HD television into a rounding error in the new iMac display.
They totally did. And then hearing how they did it was, we had to invent a new controller chip.
T-Con.
To power this display. We had to find a better way to talk to the pixels in the screen because we needed more accurate communication in order to keep everything looking the way that it should. And all of the stuff that they talked about just blew me away.
Well, you know, that's why I think, you know, that T-Con chip, that's why I'm still a believer in Apple building its own television set, because Apple's so good at building displays. And maybe this is a telegraphing of what Apple's up to in terms of at least technology prowess.
The part of John Martellaro is being played today by Philip Elmer DeWitt.
Yeah, hope it's not Gene Munster, though.
The horsepower in this new iMac and the display that it has, I mean, it's a computer where if I didn't need to have a laptop, then I would have right now I'd be seriously considering getting a new iMac.
Okay, so why do you need one?
Because everything
you
that I
you don't
do,
need one, you want one.
Why I need a laptop instead of an iMac is because I need to be mobile with a full workstation often enough that that I just need to invest the money in a MacBook Pro.
For now,
that could change at some point, and I expect it will.
I think it just did, and I think that people like you and I who are old fashioned and say I need a keyboard I can touch, or I need more video editing horsepower or audio editing horsepower than I believe I have in the device I've got.
I think that's going to become a flimsier and flimsier argument, and it's going to just become because I want to and stop, you know, shut up and because get off my lawn.
Because we can. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I fully expect the day to come when I realize, yeah, I can do this all with whatever this newfangled version of the iPad happens to me at that time. And I'm looking forward to that day because the amount of gear that I stop carrying will be significant. And the interesting thing is this has happened to me several times, in the course of my computing history, mm-hmm. where I streamline down the gear that I have to carry. And I'm looking forward to the day when I get to streamline yet again. It's going to be a beautiful and wonderful thing.
At that moment, I'm going to need a new bag because I won't even need a backpack anymore. It'll just be a slightly larger purse than the one I carry now to hold my iPad because I'll have to carry around maybe a charger, maybe a little foldy keyboard, something like that. Because I am probably going to cling to that for many years to come because I really like the touch keyboard. The actual physical keys. Sure. I don't like, I feel like I can see that from here and I don't even need to stand on my tiptoes to do it.
I think we are really getting that close. And I think that's very exciting.
Oh, me too. I'm totally looking forward to it. I don't like having to huff around that other bag.
Kelly, I want to take a second and circle back to your predictions because this is something that's been on my mind.
My correct predictions?
Yes,
are those the ones you're referring to?
Yes. Kelly was correct. Yes. I think there's a temptation to feel like because you, or perhaps maybe the writers, maybe not the listeners, that because a lot of this was leaked out and we sort of sized things up and there was a big leak yesterday and we kind of knew what was coming, that just because we weren't surprised too much, except for the Retina iMac, that this was not an exciting event. But as we've just been talking about, the prospects for what you can do, the prospects of putting it all together, the infrastructure, being in the cafe with your iPad and wanting to make a purchase and having Touch ID available to do something, the opportunities for putting all these systems together for video editing on 5K, you start sizing up some of the things that you can do and the prospects that all these things create. It's kind of more than the sum of the parts. I don't want to overuse that phrase, but you can't overlook the synergy and the ecosystem that, mm-hmm. that all these products together. And I think that sideways view that Tim Cook and Phil Schiller were both showing of the products.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Kind of.
That was a very stunning photo.
But it tells a story. It tells a really strong story sideways like that that you don't see when they're face on. When you're face on, you're focusing on the images. Mm-hmm. But when you look at them on the side, you start seeing a family. And I think Tim even referred to it. It's a family of products working together.
A family and an ecosystem.
Each one is independent, has its own beauty, its own design, its own sense. They all work together. And today was kind of a punctuation of that. And they showed that image a lot in order to punctuate that idea. And I think that's important.
It is important. And I thought the whole thing today, clearly I knew what was coming. I felt like even so, I was still excited because I wanted to see what they were going to show me. Like, I knew they were going to show me an iPad, a new iPad. Did I know it was going to be gold? No. Did I know they were going to talk about an entirely new processor? I mean, it's presumed because that's usually what happens. Did I know that they were going to show all the different places and all the different ways the iPad was used? You know, specifically, like, what those were? No. And those are the things I love. Like I said before, I have a soft spot for somebody who found a way to do something cool with a mobile device that maybe nobody else thought of before. I think that's awesome. I love those stories. And so, to me, an Apple event is always going to be exciting. I mean, even the time we got the leak of the Sunflower iMac before the Sunflower iMac event, I still really enjoyed
it. The makeup mirror iMac. Wow.
I never heard it like that. The desk lamp iMac, I've also heard. Whatever it was, we saw it the night before, and still, I thought it was pretty awesome. And we... I looked forward to it, and I looked forward to seeing how they were going to show it to us today, how they were going to do it.
what we were going to see, you know, that kind of stuff. I was really excited about it. And we didn't even talk about all the stuff that we got to see today.
No, we didn't. And we are totally out of time. I ran us late today because there was so much to talk about, and I felt it was important that we hit so many things. And yet there's more. So what I would recommend, if you want to get more about what came out of today's event, listen to Apple Context Machine. It's going to actually be Brian and Bob Leviatis recording that today so that I could get daily observations out for you guys. So listen to them. They'll have more about what's going on with the media event and the announcements. And Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome.
And John, thank you for joining me today.
You're very welcome.
And and especially after we just cranked through so much information with the media event, to turn around and hop right in on the show like that, I really appreciate it. You guys rock.
Thanks so much.